KN4DJC.
DJC, KN4CHY.
Hey, Keith, you back?
Got in yesterday evening. I don't even remember what time, owner.
You must have been burning, because Stacy and I were talking about you.
I get into the net. The only opportunity I had was Friday night, and tried to check in from Cincinnati, and Chad and Ed and somebody else was rag chewing, and Ed had to take a break and look at the cable, and I broke in, but they said the net had been closed down already, so I didn't check in.
Stacy on D-Star, he was down in Santee. I think he said he was coming back today. I talked to him yesterday, somebody in the email, and I figured you must be out. So I guess you have a good time, I hope.
It was work related, so it was productive and somewhat enjoyable, actually, because of the facility that we were at. We all drove up there Tuesday, and I drove a separate vehicle, and then we were there. We were scheduled for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then everybody left Friday about lunchtime, and I stayed another night. I've got a friend in Cincinnati. That was the first time I'd ever been there, but we used to meet all over the country, you know, different cities. And he's in Cincinnati, and I never could get a hold of him to get, making dinner arrangements made or something, and we just never could get together on it over.
Brother-in-law's best friend lived in Cincinnati. He was with Daniel Construction for years, and then moved out to California and met a girl out there, and they got married. She ran, her family ran a bakery out there, and I don't know what went on, whether her parents died or what, but then they sold the bakery, and she's a lifelong California resident. They moved to Cincinnati, and I think he was working for an insurance company, and he got real ill. He was probably in his 50s, I guess, maybe late 50s. And he got real ill. He turned out he had pulmonary fibrosis, and you know where it came from him. He was in the Seabees and in the Navy, and he did a lot of work for the helipads, stuff like that, presidential helipads, different places, and where they, you know, got in contact with asbestos during all that construction business he dealt with or not, but he was diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis. He was gone in a matter of about 4 or 5 months. So he was a really nice guy. They really enjoyed it up there, which is, he was a North Carolina guy, and he was raised around Canapolis. You know, I was real surprised he liked it, but he really did.
Really impressed with it too. I had never been up that way. I've been, you know, basically all the way across the southern part of the U.S. and all the way up the eastern seaboard, but I've never ventured over into that way. So on the way up, I stopped at a Buc-ee's. I don't know if you know about them. I've had several people tell me about them, so I seen one and had to stop there. So that Buc-ee's was the first time I ever set foot in Kentucky. And then I got back on the road, and when you cross the river up there in northern Kentucky, before you even cross the river, you see the skyline, and it's a really nice looking skyline from over across the river. But yeah, highly populated, of course, but it's spread out. All the little townships and all that are suburbs of Cincinnati, there's, man, just anything in the world you'd want to eat, and of course the normal shopping and bar establishments and that kind of thing, but I was really impressed with the area.
I'd never seen one of those Buc-ee's either. We passed one, I think, when we headed through either Jacksonville or somewhere down in Florida. We passed by one. It might have been, I don't think it was in Georgia, I want to say it was in Florida, and that's the biggest gas station complex I've ever seen in my life. It was just had hundreds of pumps. I guess that's the same thing you're talking about, Keith.
And their like, quote unquote convenience store has about anything you'd want to find. I walked in the door, and the first thing I looked at was they have a Cajun Fryer deep brand, Cajun Fryer brand deep fryers right there in the front door, and it's like they knew I was coming or something. Cause, and they've got they're I guess famous for their brisket sandwiches and stuff, and so I had to have one of the brisket. I got one of the chopped brisket sandwiches. I mean, it was $8, but man, it was piled on. It was really good.
Realized it had all that inside. I probably would have stopped. We had just stopped and gas filled up with fuel before we ran across it. I'd been hearing about it, and we didn't see it when we headed down there. I guess I just didn't catch it. But we saw it on the way back, and I think we'd stopped. They had a Sunday somewhere down there in the lower part of Georgia, and we stopped there because I always liked Sunday's barbecue pretty well. But I wish I'd known that, but I looked across, and that thing had the parking lot like it had multiple football fields. I mean, it was just, I don't know how many pumps. It must have had hundreds and hundreds of pumps out there, but I'd never seen anything like that. But I kept seeing the signs for it at different locations on the interstate. I said, what in the heck is that thing? But anyway, I didn't go inside. If I give it that way again sometime, I'll have to be sure and stop inside and check it out.
I had a couple of KM4CHY, kind of sync up with the repeater here. I had a couple of people from work tell me about it, and then I've got a friend that's got a rare form of leukemia, and she has to go to MD Anderson in Houston a lot, and she said that's one of their stops. Her daughter is, bless her heart, is good about going with her. And that's what they would do, is stop at Bucky's and pick them up some sandwiches to microwave in the hotel room to keep the trip cheap. And yeah, she was raving about how they've got everything and anything. So, and then the people from work telling me about them. So yeah, I had to check it out. And yeah, I've not seen that many gas pumps at one place since back in the, I guess, probably late 60s, early 70s. I don't know if you remember going out, I believe it's out I-20, going to Six Flags. There used to be a place like up on a hill called like Gas City or something like that. And I've not seen that many pumps since Gas City. Over.
Where that Gas City was, because we used to go to Six Flags back in those days, and I had some family used to go out I-20. Yeah, I remember that place. I don't think I'm sure it's not there anymore, but I remember that place well, because I thought the same thing. But this Bucky's thing, it's like a different universe in terms of gas stations, if you will call it that. It's like a whole, all they did was a Ferris wheel, and that'd be the deal.
I was going up through North Carolina and crossed into Tennessee, and they have, apparently that's part of their marketing thing, is they start advertising these things like 90 miles ahead, and, with billboards and all, and I've seen one of the billboards, it's like, oh, cool, I'm going to get the hit of Bucky's. Well, I turned north before I ever got to the Bucky's, so it's like, oh, well, not going to get a Bucky's, and then hit that one and kind of seemed like it was up above Lexington somewhere in Kentucky, so... Yeah, when I seen that one, I had to go ahead and stop then.
Sign on 85 headed towards Anderson from Greenville. It says Bucky's 190 miles, and I don't know whether it's on 85 or I-20 or where it is, or I-75, is 100, that was 190 miles. It could have even been the other one I was talking about, that just off of, I guess it was 75, I suppose, I don't remember. It was in Florida, I think. If it wasn't, it was so close to the line. It was, Yeah, it was real close. It might be just across the line in Georgia, but it was a huge thing. But that's something else to see. That's got to be a ton of money to operate one of those things. And when we rode by there, and my wife said, "Good grief, look at not all the public." I mean, the place was full too. I mean, there were just hundreds of cars in there. I said, "Man, you'd have to get a golf cart to get to the." To get to the convenience store part of it, it's so far away.
It wasn't convenient, but there was a lot of cars in there. And I rode probably three quarters of the way down to get one on the right side, but I did find one open. But there wasn't a whole lot of them, that's for sure. And yeah, it looks like kind of the family thing to do. You get gas, and then you pull up, park, and go in and roam around for a while if you got the time. But yeah, I didn't do as much roaming as I wanted to. I just kind of got the sandwich, and they have like, they call them beaver chips or something like that. It's they do their own fresh potato chips. And refreshed my coffee and got back on the road. But I'd still like to go back and with a little more time to just browse around. I was on a schedule to get up there so we could all have dinner together that night once we all got there.
Be sure to make that a circle one stop next time if I'm anywhere in the area where one is close by. I noticed, you know, they were talking about some type of destination type gas station on 85, and I want to say it was up here near Highway 8, but I may be wrong about that. But it wasn't that one though. It was some other. It was a similar type of deal, but it wasn't Bucky's. I'm sure it was some other chain. And they were discussing. And I know that was Anderson County Council was talking about it. Where I read about it. But I guess that's the thing. If you got to stop and get gas, you know, you might as well fill up, do everything else while you're there. Like a GT on steroids.
The only one I can think of that would come even close to rivaling Bucky's is I have seen some large QTs. Not really been in one of the big ones. I've been into the more normal sized ones, and they have a nice selection of coffees, about anything you can think of. But yeah, I was just impressed with the Bucky's because they had in the middle of it, they have all the brisket stuff, and you can get brisket or like sliced brisket sandwiches or chopped brisket sandwiches, and they have turkey, and they even do brisket burritos and tacos and stuff. So, yeah, about anything you'd want to eat brisket related is pretty much there.
I cooked you some grilled hamburgers afternoon. I was over there at their house. My grandson turned 10 today, and you make me hungry again, Keith. man, that sounds good. I like good brisket. Most of the time it's just too dry, but the good stuff is, I mean, it's expensive too. I mean, I can't remember where I saw one somewhere. It was like $15 for a sandwich. I thought, man, what in the world is going on?
And, that friend of mine that I was telling you about, you know, I told her, I says, you know, it was, the sandwich was like, I think it was $8. And I was a little skeptical about it, you know, for $8. And then I got out to the truck, just set in the truck and ate it, and when I unwrapped it, I mean, it was just piled on super thick. They did not skip with it, so I was like, okay, we're good. It's still a little expensive, but man, that's a lot of meat. And they do the chopped ones, you know, it's already got like barbecue sauce on it, so it's ready to eat right out of the wrapper.
Listen, hey, you try some chili, I guess.
Was one of the must-dos before I left is hit Skyline Chili, and I did that I think it was Friday afternoon, and I was impressed with that. The our manufacturing supervisor was telling me about it, and he's like, you know, It's really weird. They put it on spaghetti noodles. I'm not too sure how I feel about that, but I thought it was real good. I wanted to do a variety of stuff, so I got just the, they call them waves. It's I believe it's 4-way, 5-way, and 6-ways. And I got a 5-way with onions and then just a small one, and then got a Coney hot dog with their world-famous chili on top of it, and mustard onions, and they just load it down with cheese, both of them. And, yeah, it was all really, really good.
Only time I've been to Ohio was I went to the Ham Fest back in 96, and we flew up there then in a private plane. I was just amazed. Ohio just, I mean, most of it's farmland from the sky. I mean, you know, you're not flying at 30,000 feet, you fly 7,000, 8,000 feet, you know, you can see, I mean, it's just like patches of farmland all through there. It doesn't look highly populated at all until you get, you know, towards some of the larger cities. It kind of reminds, you know, Ohio kind of reminds me of parts of the southeast, to be honest with you.
I didn't really venture much. We couldn't get much out of the city because, like I said, you know, there's so many townships that are kind of blended in with Cincinnati. You can't tell one from the other, so we didn't get out into the countryside any, but I was really impressed with the scenery around there too. You know, I didn't know what to expect, if it was going to be, you know, flat or barren or what, but it's really nice looking area. That whole drive, you know, because when I left out, of course I went, you know, up 76 through Georgia and then to North Carolina and over through Tennessee and then straight up the middle of Kentucky and into Cincinnati, and just the whole drive was just beautiful views. So,
we'd go to football games in Kentucky, Lexington. That was one of their favorite places to go. They enjoyed it. It was always a nice drive. It was always in October, you know, the leaves were turning, the weather was, you know, generally pretty dickum good. That was one of their favorite, you know, they went to a bunch of Southeastern Conference games over the years, and two of their favorites were Lexington and Oxford, Mississippi, I think.
Now, Lexington brings me back to the other food thing I had to do. So I grew up on Crystals, and, you know, even though Crystal was started in 1932, they were kind of the new guys at it, so... intended to hit a White Castle there in Cincinnati, but just run out of time and was heading back and found one in Lexington and hit it, and I was really impressed. You know, their original sliders are much like Crystal, but they have one now called the 1921 slider that they don't, it's a little thicker meat and it's round, and they do sauteed onions and lettuce and tomato on top of it, and wow, that was good. Now I'm a White Castle fan. I've had the White Castle burgers out of the frozen food section, and, you know, like I said, they're pretty much like a Crystal burger, so there wasn't nothing to steer me away from Crystal. Having a real one from a real White Castle restaurant, it was, they've kind of won me over now.
As it worked for me, he was, when we lived up in Fort Mill, he was from, I don't know, he was either from Ohio or somewhere up in, you know, Kentucky, Ohio, somewhere up in that area, and he would, whenever he'd go home, he'd bring White Castles back, and man, they were still good after they'd been sitting in the car for 8 hours. But I've had the ones frozen ones too. They're okay. You got to peel the grease, you know, the frozen grease off of them. They're pretty good. But, you know, like, yeah, I always like Crystals. This, so they come James. There just aren't any. They closed just about all of them in South Carolina. Are closed. You know, they had one there in Greenville, and they used to have one up there. We're 123 crosses. 178 at one time in one of those. service stations here, and I think those are gone. Though, Keith, but I think all the other ones are closed in South Carolina. There may be one or two, but that's just a crying shame, because I love them. My grandkids love them, too. We love those things. I used to buy 15 or 20 at a time and feed everybody.
I used to have to make runs back on second shift. I'd have to make runs over to FedEx and Malden to drop packages off, you know, for get them out to the customer quick. And I used to hit that one there at Liberty Highway and 123 on the way back, and I'd do the same thing. I'd pick up a sack full, and then I'd get back to the plant, and as I walked in the door, all the guys knew it was lunchtime, man. Over.
Like a food fight. I remember some of the, when my sister-in-law was getting married, they didn't have a wedding plan, and everybody was, my wife, mother-in-law, and my wife's aunt were all helping with wedding. They were working until 11 o'clock at night or something, working on getting all the stuff ready. And this was in North Crawford, Duluth, and we were staying at, I can't remember the name, it was one of the motels there, you know. One of the nicer motels, they had a Chili's there close by, which I'd eaten Chili's multiple times years past. But of course, it was closed then, and so I said, well, I'm going to go down and get some crystals. And I got us about 25 crystals, and I brought them in there, and they gave me a funny look. And next thing I know, I turned around, and in 20 minutes, they were gone. They'd eaten, I mean, I must have 30 of them, but they were all gone. I think I got one.
Recognizing Walt, K40AM. We've got one that we hit on the way down to the farm in Savannah. There's one in Thompson. So usually we're hungry, so we'll kind of not take the Thompson bypass and hit that one. Or sometimes we'll go down and take the bypass on the way down, but hit Crystal on the way back, because it's usually, you know, 10 o'clock at night, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, when we're coming back through there and starting to get hungry, and so we'll stop at that Crystal. And I have been to the one there in Commerce, too, on trips down to Atlanta. And, I can't hardly pass a Crystal, so... and I think the wife kind of feels the same way, but if there's a Crystal on the path, it's usually going to get hit by me. Go ahead, Walt, K40AM, KN4CHY. KG. RTG, go ahead.
Signal, how's my signal down there?
Good on this end. A little bit of white noise, but not bad at all. You on an HD?
No, sir, I'm on a Icon V8000 with a Ringo Ranger up about 70 feet. I'm in Marion, North Carolina.
You are doing a fine job for Marion, North Carolina, then.
I really do. And I just wanted to check my signal and see how I was doing. I used to check into y'all's net every now and then, and I changed antennas, and I decided to go back to this one.
That's coming up about 20 minutes there every night at 9 o'clock, so definitely join us if you will.
Sir, I sure will. I'll be back on about 9. This is KO4RTG, clear on your final.
RTG, KN4CHY, name here is Keith on this end. I'm in Seneca, South Carolina, and I was talking to Jerry in 4DJC. He's down in Anderson.
Well, I appreciate you letting me in there for a second. And y'all hear me back out on the net.
Look forward to it. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, you're sounding good up there for Marion. You got a good signal coming in here. The teeny tiny bit of white noise, but not much. But, I tell you, I can't only pass them up either. I'm surprised there's one in Thompson. I didn't know that. I worked at Milliken. And Thompson, early in my textile career, so I know Thompson pretty well. I hadn't been through that area in a while, though, but I think the last time we went through it, might have been headed to Augusta, maybe, or coming back through or something. It's been a long time ago, I guess. But, it's sad there's not many of them left anymore. The one, like I said, the one in Commerce is probably the closest one now. There were several in Columbia at one time, but I think they're all gone. And there used to be one up there inside a one of those truck stop, gas stop things somewhere up in New Gaffney, I think, Keith, but I don't know whether that was still operating or not.
I don't know of any more around in South Carolina either. And I think there was one out Woodruff Road at one time, too, and I think it's gone now. But, yeah, the one in Thompson is, as you're going down, what is it, Georgia 17, going into Thompson, you cross where 20 comes across there, and they're just past I-20 on the right. So it's really convenient for doing the farm and Savannah trips.
Did that Milliken Kingsley plant down in Blairfield, you heading into Thompson? And we live just on the other side of Thompson. We were in the county. We might have been outside the city limits. That was a built a first house down there back in 75, I guess. When I was kind of fresh out of school and all, I like living down there okay. And but there wasn't a lot to do without driving to Augusta there.
Especially back then, there's not a lot to do there now, but probably a little more than what there was back in those days. And yeah, I remember seeing that Milliken plant too. And I don't know if it's that one or like up around Hartwell. You know, I've been amazed that they were still running, but we come by whichever one it is here lately, and it's up for sale now.
Gears on the way to Clemson. I don't know whether that was still operating or not. And, you know, they had Gears there and they had another. I can't remember one on the other side. They used to call them. They didn't call them all of them because all of them didn't have weaving. But Gears was there on the left as you head towards just, you know, right there in Pendleton. And the one in Harville is Newton. And I don't know whether it's still operating or not. It may be. And I don't, when I go to, I usually go to Bowman. Go that way. We don't go in town. I just go to Harlem to see my doctor every 6 months. I don't get into town that often. But I'm with that one. The Newton is operating. There's one in Livonia, too, simply. It was operating at one time. It may be closed, too. But there's still some of them out there, Keith. There's probably not as many as there were. But, good gosh, you know, they put them out in the middle of nowhere most of the time. Just Roger liked to do that.
That they finally put that one up for sale, because like I said, you know, we've been going by there for years and it's still been operating, and then it was that last trip we noticed that they got a for sale sign out in front of it, and I believe it is that one in Thompson there or somewhere around in there, or might have been Hartwell. I know about the one in Pendleton too. We used to stepson used to live over there, and we used to ride through their main entrance there, getting over to his place from here.
The time I called on that was they had cut back personnel what they would do there, because it was all filament weaving. It wasn't, you know, didn't have any cotton or blends in it. So what they would do is they'd run, they'd have people working on the first shift, and they worked till 6 o'clock, 8. And they just, you know, turned the lights off on it and have somebody there to watch out for fires, just let them run until they stopped. They didn't have anybody, no weavers, nobody doing any maintenance or anything at night, and they just let it run all night. And amazingly, they said they didn't lose as much as they thought they would lose, but, you know, that's kind of, I forget what they called it, lights out or something like that. I thought it was one of the silliest things I'd ever heard, but yeah, if it works, I guess.
Like when we were coming through there, there wasn't as many cars as they had parking lot anymore. So, yeah, that must have been through the wind down period there. And, yeah, that place we went to up in Cincinnati, it's Clippard Instrument Labs, and they make valves and cylinders and all kinds of stuff. They're still family owned, which just amazes me. They're huge, and they do a lot of lights out machining. And they fully admit that, you know, sometimes you'll come in, you'll have a drill break in the middle of the cycle, and you might have a couple of hundred scrap parts. But all those nights that nothing happens, you have hundreds, if not thousands, of good parts to go through in the morning and stock yourselves with. So they still do it. They've recently acquired more machines with. They said that machine had like 36 pallets, and they will load 3 parts per pallet, and they have a tool capacity of 300 tools. So their goal on that, it's a new valve body line they're starting up, and the goal with that machine is to be able to run any of the manifolds that they need to run on that machine and never have to tear tooling out and, put new tooling in. So they've made quite the investment. It was a really amazing facility, and that was another thing I was amazed at in Cincinnati in itself, is there's lots and lots of manufacturing around there.
There is. It's pretty highly populated here, and it's central to the country, too, so they can ship in either direction. I know probably I've been in some big manufacturing areas, and probably the one that was most, I don't know about impressive, but it was just the one that made my drive job was at the Lucid Technologies when they were doing a lot of their stuff at fiber optic stuff and dropping the fiber optic cable there at the plant there just off of 85. My brother and I worked for, they were asked to work for Bell Labs originally, and then they moved on to Lucid. But I tell you what, that thing, that, when they dropping that fiber optic stuff, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, that building was huge. I mean, it was tall, and that's been 30 years ago, Keith, so I was easily impressed, I guess, but it was just an amazing operation. There's so many things that we don't get exposed to through our manufacturing lives. You see something like that, and you say, man, that just tells you what can be done, and, we kind of work in our own little sphere and get blinded sometimes to what other people are doing. You see other things, you say, man, what is possible?
Roger that. I had to wait for APRS to finish. And I remember that Lucid plant too, and it was always impressive to me. Like you said, the plant was so huge, and it had the legacy of Bell Labs, and I was all about that kind of stuff growing up. Always actually wanted to do that kind of work, just never ended up getting into it, but they've got Clifford has 2 facilities up there in the Cincinnati area. One of them's in the township of Coleraine, and the other one's in Fairfield. The Coleraine location is kind of their headquarters, but they actually have manufacturing in the basement, so they've got just tons of machines in the basement that they run. And then the Fairfield location, they have more machining there, and that's where they do all of their assembly. So they're shuttling parts back and forth, and the owner was telling us we're kind of saving on their, we're acquiring their air cylinder line, and they are doing more and more medical valves, and they're just slap out of floor space to expand the very profitable part of the business. So we're kind of doing them a favor by taking the cylinders off their hands. The owner was telling us that once they outgrow this place again, that they're probably going to look at building something west of Cincinnati, because all their machinist talent is coming mostly from Indiana. So they're trying to get moved over towards where their talent pool is, and we were all just blown away by that they can select their location based on the talent pool.
Yeah, pretty cash rich, because that's not something everybody can just drop something and do. Move a machining centers and all that sort of thing, moving from one location to another like that. But if you're in a business that's growing, I guess it's the thing to do. And you got to move where the talent is. I know that here in town, Ryobi, when they first started up, one of the guys, as a matter of fact, he makes knives now. He's Ken Onion. I don't know if you know the Kershaw line of knives that Ken. You got Ken's name. Ken's from Belton. He worked for the Cincinnati Milacron originally. He worked over here in Ryobi, and he got in the knife making business and sold a couple of designs to Kershaw. And you know, he lives in Hawaii now. That gives you any idea of how much money he made. But there's still a lot here in this area, I guess. There must be. And there's some stuff down around Santee as well. There's some machine stuff down there that. It's not very big operations down there. They're doing some work. They moved from a couple of operations moved from the west here to South Carolina because they had a small, you know, wasn't a big pool of talent, I guess, but you know, that's been some years ago. But had a pool of talent here that could do what they need them to do. It's a whole lot cheaper.
I guess really what blew me away about this place is they, like I said, they are still family owned, and they have this kind of capital to throw around. Now, he did say once we clear out this floor space that it lets him defer it at least 5 years, but they're still heavily thinking about going in that direction to kind of help them recruit more and kind of ease the load on the current folks that they do have. Just really impressed the owner of the company. He's and here's another thing. He's the grandson of the original Clifford. I think his name was Leonard Clifford. But how he got started is he did radio repair. And he was trying to come up with a way to test coils. And they gave us a tie tack that's this little bitty cylinder that's probably not a half inch long and probably 3/16 diameter bore with a little pointy end shaft on it. And that was his first air cylinder. And he was making jigs for testing coils, and he would have these cylinders around the coil, and they would make contact at different locations on the coils, and that was how he got his start. And he just really smart guy, and apparently it's in the genes because his grandson that runs the company now is just incredibly smart. Yeah, if I'd have been aware of them years ago, I'd probably be in Cincinnati now. Over
20, I guess, but that's just one of those things you just don't think about. Of course, Drake was, you know, in Ohio for years, and they had there was some pretty good operations, radio operations up there. But that's been years and years ago. That's pretty amazing that he took something where he was working on radio stuff, doing calls, and moved on to some other business and made it into a family empire, I guess.
He did that those sort of original little cylinders, and then he built valves in order to, you know, do the like test bench thing on the coils, and it just, yeah, he hit on something that just exploded over the years. And it's funny, a lot of their machines is all built by them. And probably 95% of the logic on these machines is pneumatic powered using their valves and cylinders. And it was just really amazing. Anyway, we're running up on net time here, so and I need to get in there and eat real quick. But good talking to you. Good to good to be back home, even though I did enjoy the trip, with it being a work trip over.
I mean to stop you from eating, keep you from your dinner, Keith. Sorry about that. I just appreciate you coming back to me. I'm glad you're home, too, and glad you're doing well. It was a real interesting conversation, as usual. And I get off here, I got to go downstairs and do some other stuff, too. And take care, and we'll talk to you again soon. 73, KM4CHY, 4DJ.
Good night. Yeah, I'll probably be on the net here in a little while. It's spaghetti, so it'll hold. So no big deal on the delay. much rather have good conversation. Well, maybe not always more than food, but, you know, it's always good to have good conversation. Anyway, have a good night, and we'll catch you later in 4DJC, KN4CHY. I'll be clear.
For OIM, W2MJP, I can hear you. You sound as fine. QCQ, the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control tonight is W2MJP. My name is Mark. My location is Simpsonville. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is located atop Caesars Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of North Carolina, South Carolina state line near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet. This repeater is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and all amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. As an added convenience, you can check in via APRS message sent to W4DJW, or you can also check in via Echolink Node 545072. Any formal traffic for the net, please call W2MJB or Net Control. Formal traffic, are there any announcements or bulletins for the net? Please call W2MJB or Net Control. This is W2MJB, Net Control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Nothing heard for announcements from those listening. I do have one, just to remind you that on Monday nights this month, Anna and Wendy are, that's KO4RYP and KM4HTP, are trying to get 100 check-ins each Monday night for the month of July to pay homage, I guess, to those who those silent keys who have passed on. So please come along tomorrow night to check in with Anna. If you don't have anything else going on that's more important. We will now begin the roll call portion of the net. This is a direct to net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the reaction portion. Before calling the individual RF groups, however, I would like to recognize the early check-in. Take a seat. There are a lot of check-ins, so this will take a minute or so to read these off. First off, we have KA3JCA, Richard in Simpsonville. Richard brings along the JCA and his daughter Ashley, KA4ACL. I'd like to thank Richard for coming along and bringing his family with him. Next, we have K4XMR, Mel in Prosperity. And a new one in my log, we have KD500J, Chris in Edmond, Oklahoma. Welcome him to the net. KJ4UHF, Jack in Greenville. WU2T, Rusty in Warren. K4ROW, Richard in Greenville. Another new check-in with me. KD8YNN, Richard in Hillsboro. I think it's South Carolina. South Carolina. The only Hillsboro I think I know of is in North Carolina. We have W4FCM, Fred in Traveler's Rest, and he brings along his wife, Isla, N4IEI. We have N4WRO, Bill in Easley, K1CJW, Roland in Pickens, W2AMD, Andy in Simpsonville, KW4TS, Jim in Pelzer, N4ASW, Tony in Asheville. K4OSH, Pat in Malden. K4OIM, Walt in Inman. KO4RAX, Jim in Davisville. KO4ZEW, Ben in Simpsonville. AJ4RA, Bill in Simpsonville. This check-in is also new in my log, so welcome Bill to Arnett. KA5W.
Repeater, time out, exit. Repeater, time out, clear.
Clear.
MJB, Nick, control for the Blue Ridge to me internet. KN4RJN, are you listening, and do you want to check in?
This is KN4RJN. Yeah, everything kind of dropped out there for a second, and I wasn't hearing anything. But yes, sir, check me in, and John Brown Summit, and I'll hang around.
RJN W2MJB, were you able to hear all of the check-ins, the early check-ins? Last one was KI4MRA, or did it all just kind of go dead in the middle of my recognition of the early check-ins?
This is KN4RJN. I'm not sure exactly where you dropped out, but no, I didn't hear them all. But when the repeater timed out, then everything just went dead until it apparently got its echo link back up, which is why I didn't hear the call for the echo link stations in the first place. But I've got you now.
Okay, thanks. Does anyone out there by chance remember the last call sign that I gave on the early check-ins before the repeater timed out? I didn't realize I had that many to where it would time out.
W2MJB, KN4RJN. I'm not sure exactly which call sign you ended on, but I know you got through at least a dozen, 15 of them before you dropped out.
Net control is KO4ZYX. I believe you were announcing Miss Ida or Iva. Ida, I believe. Over.
KN4RJN and the other station. Thank you. I will start at number 13 and stop in the middle to make sure we don't time out again. Apologize for that. I wasn't thinking I was there that long. So let me go ahead and recognize the early check-in starting after I left. We have N4WRO, Bill in Easley, K1CJW, Roland in Pickens, W2AMD, Andy in Simpsonville, KW4TS, Jim in Pelzer, N4ASW, Tony in Asheville, K4OSH, Pat in Malden, and I'll take a break here. K4OIM, Walt in Inman, KO4RAX, Jim in Dacusville, KO4ZEW, Ben in Simpsonville, AJ4RA, Bill in Simpsonville. Bill is a new check-in in my log. We have KA5WLL, Leroy in Taylors, KC4W, Bill in Anderson, N4DJC, Jerry in Anderson, KI4MRA, Fred in Greer, and I'll go ahead and recognize John KN4RJN there in Brown Summit on our Echo Link stations.
JB, this is KO4NUE.
KO4NUE, go ahead.
Hey, Mark, just want to let you know the repeater clock was off, so the repeater was not in net mode, which means every 3 minutes it times out. So the DTMF tones you heard, I turned net mode on, so you don't have to worry about the 3 minute limit. Just carry on and, you know, talk as long as you want. When midnight comes around, I'll turn the net mode off. K4NUE, clear.
W4DJW with a little bit more information on that. Okay, so the clock isn't that far off. The problem, what happened, Mark, and you're the first person that it happened to, the problem is that there were people that were talking when it normally puts itself in net mode a half hour before the net. And if people are talking, then it will respect that and not interrupt them while they're talking. But they talked for a long time. So the clock ran out. It didn't have time to go into net mode because there was just too many people talking. So, and then Chad figured that out pretty quick that it wasn't in net mode, and he fixed it while you were talking, so you don't have to worry about that anymore tonight. But we will have to figure out a way to get around it when the repeater is in use more than a half hour before the net starts, because that's what caused this to happen. Just want to let you know, the full everything about what happened there, Mark, just so that you're aware of what's going on. W4DJW, back to net.
WJW2MJB, thank you for that information. It's good to have that. I didn't realize that was a situation. But at least we know the repeater was being used, so that's a good thing. So right now, I think we have one other Echolink station up, so we'll go back to Echolink stations. Only please call W2MJB or net control.
W2MJB. This is November 4, Hotel Charlie, in for HHC, Warren, and Taylor's, negative and negative tonight.
W2MJB, net control, for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, recognizing N4HHC, Warren, and Taylor's. Thanks for checking in tonight, Warren, and glad to hear you on Echolink, and I'm glad that we were able to get you into the log. With that, that's it for the Echolink stations for the time being, so we'll go ahead and move to the regular alphabet. Tonight being Sunday night, we begin with Alpha through Delta. Please call W2MJB or net control.
UMJB. And Mike, please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife, Kilo, Kilo 4, Oscar, November, Oscar, Lorena. And my daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar Quebec, Michelle, we're all in default and we'll all be negative and negative. But please, to everyone on the net.
W2MJB. Good evening, Mark. Thanks for calling the net tonight. Please check in Whiskey 4 Delta Juliet Whiskey, W4DJW, Dave and Greer, negative and negative.
JB. Mark, please check in. Kilo November 4, Charlie Hotel Yankee, KN4CHY, Keith and Seneca, negative and negative.
JB. Thanks for calling up. Please check in. Whiskey 4, Charlie Tango Whiskey, W4CTW. This is Tyler. I'm currently mobile in Greer. I'll be negative negative.
Whiskey 4, Charlie Whiskey Foxtrot. That's W4CWS. My name's Colin. I'm located in Mill Spring, North Carolina. I'll be negative and negative.
Kilo Charlie 2, Delta Quebec Victor, Bob and Gray Court, negative and negative.
MJB. Mark, please check in. Kilo Mike 4, Bravo, Lima Hotel, KM4BLH. The name is Kurt, Charlie Uniform, Romeo Tango, QTH is Greenville. I'll be negative and negative.
2MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Recognizing the following check-ins. Had a good group of check-ins there. First, leading off is KK4DMW Rick in Piedmont. He brings along his wife, Lorena, KK4ONO, and his daughter, Michelle, KM4MOQ. Appreciate Rick coming in and bringing Lorena and Michelle along with you and checking in with me tonight. Next, we have our net manager, Dave, W4DJW, there in Greer. KN4CHY, Keith in Seneca. W4CTW, Tyler, mobile in Greer tonight. Drive safely, Tyler, and make sure you keep all four wheels down on the pavement. Next, we have W4CWF, Colin in KC2DQV, Bob in Gray Court, and KM4BLH, Kurt in Greenville. Appreciate y'all checking in with me tonight. Have a great evening, and we'll look forward to having you coming back tomorrow night, checking in with Anna. Any other check-ins, Alpha through Delta, please call W2MJB or Net Control.